Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from the Gospel reading from Mark that you have just heard. Please be seated. When I was in high school, one time I had to buy a nice set of clothes for a competition I was going to the next weekend. You know, my sophomore year of high school, I wasn't a nice dresser. I didn't have many nice clothes at the time. So I figured, Jess, let's stop looking like a slob. Okay, we'll buy some nice clothes. So I took my paycheck for the week, which was a whopping $70, and went to the mall, and I spent all that $70 on a shirt. It was a brand name button-down shirt with French cuffs, and I even bought a set of cufflinks, so I looked really spiffy. I figured my new shirt needed a test run before I was supposed to wear it that following weekend. So I put it on Thursday and figured I'd wear it to school and outdress everybody else in my class. So I wore it to class and I looked and felt great, just like they guarantee on the Men's Warehouse commercials. But then tragedy struck. My luck turned for the worse. I got a bloody nose right before lunch, and it looked like I got in a bar fight and blood was all over my shirt. When I got home, I tried hard to get that stain out. I tried everything. Soap, water, OxyClean, vegetable oil. I actually did that. I saw it on the internet and it made it worse. Nothing was working, so I decided to just throw in the towel and accept failure. And my dreams of being the next Calvin Klein were squashed. Saddened with my luck with the shirt, I went to Goodwill and got a white one for $3. It was a little yellow, but you couldn't really tell. I ended up looking more like a Mormon missionary than a professional businessman. I'm sure a lot of you have had similar experiences. You get stains all over your clothes, dirt, oil, all sorts of things. But even worse than any sort of stain is the stain that covers our entire lives. The stain of sin. When we struggle with those stains in our lives, sin, death, sickness, worry, anxiety, we have those things that we feel like we're completely ruined, and that we are unclean, and that we are done for. In our gospel text today, we hear of Jesus telling the crowds about the things that are on the outside that do not defile us. Rather, that our sinful ways defile us. To be absolutely sure, we do have all these sinful stains. We all struggle with this sinful nature. Yet the uncleanliness of this world has been washed clean through the blood of Jesus. Because of sin, we struggle with these blots of evil in our lives. We live an unclean life, and we constantly struggle with the threats and evil assaults of the devil. Just like pigs that roll around in the mud, we're dirty. It is precisely that reason that Jesus begins this discussion with the crowds in Mark 7. He's talking with the Pharisees about being clean. Of course, things like pork were unclean, but their entire lives were dictated by clean and dirty. They thought if they washed everything, they thought if they did the right things, they would be okay. Like we heard in our gospel text last week, they were completely obsessed with this notion of cleanliness. Were they clean enough? Were they good enough? No. What possibly was there that they could have done? Jesus answers them by saying, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery," and he goes on with all of these things. All of these things are not only harmful to ourselves, but they're things that are harmful to those around us. That's sin. That's that infection. That's that stain that stains the entire world. Their evil thoughts and their evil ways thought that made them think that they were better than God, made them think that they were superior to anything that was outside in the Gentile world. They thought they were number one. And they thought they could do it all themselves. So they contradicted God's law. They broke the Torah, and they struggled. And that's why Jesus came to tell them these things. The fact of the matter is, just like the crowds, just like the Pharisees, just like everybody else, we struggle with this idea. We think that we ourselves can be clean. We think we can be bleach white. We think we can be perfect. But that's not the case. We often think, oh, if I live a good enough life and I'm nice enough to people, I'll get my own way into heaven. But that's just not true. We're just like those crowds. We're just like the Pharisees that Jesus is calling out. We struggle with those sins. We struggle with our own pride, with our own evil thoughts, with our own covetousness, our deceit. And again, we struggle with our pride. The truth is that we'll never be undefiled on our own power. A lifetime of sin, just like a pig rolling around in the mud, covers us up. And even worse, just like a mother sow can squash her piglets, that's what sin does to us. We can't expel sin. We can't get it out of our heart. We definitely can't get it out of ourselves. No amount of puking, no amount of anything will expel the dirtiness of sin that is within us. Just like a blood-stained shirt or an oil-stained pair of pants, we're constantly afflicted with the stain of sin in our innermost being. Yet that's precisely the reason Jesus comes to us. The cross of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our unclean ways, and his blood alone removes that stain. Contrary to the thoughts of the Jews at the time of Jesus, and still much to the chagrin of many billions around the world today, Jesus alone can cleanse us from our wickedness and clean our sin. The idea that we have the power to save ourselves is squashed by Jesus' atonement on Calvary. No longer do we have to worry about being unclean. No longer do we have to worry about being guilty. Our own evil doings and harm that we've done to ourselves and to those around us is washed clean and wiped away by the blood of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God alone, and not man's righteousness, is what cleanses the world. Unlike the notions of the Pharisees, there's no amount of ritual sacrifice, no amount of actions, no amount of deeds, no amount of devotion, whether well-intended or not, that could defeat God's grace. The grace that God showed to the world through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us and does not require any action on our part to be effective. Because of God's grace, and God's grace alone, our final destination won't be a dirty laundry pile like the pit of hell, but instead it'll be with him in the resurrection, in the new creation. No amount of evil works that we could do could ever wash away God's righteousness. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, there is pure eternal salvation. The gospel, which God gave to us through his Son, takes the place of our own evil doings. It isn't just hearing the word of God that shows us love. Yet, God still comes to us through physical means all the time. The cleansing power of his blood and holy baptism reminds us of this cleansing. It's not just a symbol. It's the actual power of God and the Holy Spirit working in us and through us every day. We must never forget the reality of the sacrament, and we must assuredly be reassured and constantly have that notion that we're saved and that we don't have to worry about our salvation. The cross fills that need and has taken our place in hell. Yet we still find ourselves in the struggle between clean and unclean, between good and evil, between life and death here on earth. So what does the power of the gospel mean right now? Even though we constantly struggle with sin and we constantly have these worries, we still have the promise of Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is here, now. The new life which God gives us in the gospel is our current reality. God promises, as we heard in our epistle text today, the full armor of God through his Holy Spirit. And because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we have the power to live a godly life. The bold promises that God grants us through the Holy Spirit is not for his own benefit, but is for ours and shows his glory throughout the world. We act pure and holy, and we should, because it is that righteousness that not only helps us, but helps those around us. When we do acts of kindness and self-sacrifice things, and do things that we really don't want to do, but help our neighbor, we are showing the love of God throughout the world. Our own good deeds and our own sacrificial love and our own good thoughts come from God and God alone. The goodness and righteousness that only he can grant is his way of making the world new and constantly reassuring the world of his presence and of his goodness. The cleansing word that has the power to defeat sin, death, and the devil once and for all is the word that we hear in the gospel. When we live out the Christian life and declare that word of God in our doings, we show God's righteousness and we show the world what clean is. Now, as we close, we must remember that we are utterly incapable of saving ourselves, and even no amount of good works can save us. In our thoughts, words, and deeds, we're constantly going against God, and this is something that we can never defeat. Yet because of Jesus Christ, and because of our baptism and our constant reassurance in the sacrament, we have that assurance. We have that salvation, here, now, and forever. The blood of Jesus Christ alone has that power and keeps us clean every day. Let us constantly live in the gospel and constantly live in the assurance of salvation, today and always. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated for the offering.